In the next 2 years, One Alliance in China plans to deploy 1,000 hydrogen-powered heavy-duty trucks on key logistics routes. Meanwhile, Western executives are still debating the color of their hydrogen. Is the West falling behind in the race to commercialize clean energy technology? And what does it mean for your supply chain? Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology developments shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This lead, the hydrogen economy is moving from ambition to execution, but not everywhere at the same pace. At the World Hydrogen Summit, industry CEOs issued a stark warning to governments: stop debating and start building. We'll analyze that call to action and what it means for investment.
We'll then look at Europe's strategy to secure future supply through a new green hydrogen corridor from Oman. In the U.S., we'll examine how the Inflation Reduction Act is fueling infrastructure, but also the harsh market realities facing companies like Plug Power.
And crucially, we'll turn to Asia. We have stunning announcements from China on long-range hydrogen trucks that directly challenge Western manufacturers, and a deep dive into India's national mission to become a global hydrogen hub. Troy, let's start with that CEO message from the Hydrogen Council. The title of their call to action was Hydrogen for a Resilient World. It sounds less like a proposal and more like a demand. What's the urgency?
The urgency is about moving from pilot projects to bankable industrial-scale assets. The CEOs of the world's largest energy and industrial firms are stating unequivocally that without government guarantees and firm long-term offtake contracts, private investment will remain on the sidelines.
Offtake contracts, so guaranteed buyers for the hydrogen once it's produced?
Exactly. The core issue is that green hydrogen production costs are still too high for the current market. These CEOs are criticizing the never-ending debate over green versus blue hydrogen, arguing it's delaying the construction of essential physical infrastructure, pipelines, storage, and port facilities. They want policy to focus on building the system, not on perfecting one production method over another.
So, for U.S. and European manufacturers, what's the direct impact of this delay?
It creates a dangerous uncertainty. If you're a steelmaker or a chemical producer, you can't commit to converting your plants to run on hydrogen if you can't secure a reliable, cost-effective supply for the next 20 years. This inaction gives a competitive advantage to regions with more decisive government intervention.
And for trading companies?
For traders and distributors, the message is that the market is still fragmented. Sourcing opportunities will be project-based and localized for now. Don't expect a globally traded hydrogen commodity market to emerge until these infrastructure and policy bottlenecks are resolved.
So, what's the actionable insight here for a Western executive?
They need to actively lobby their own governments for these exact policy mechanisms. That means pushing for carbon pricing, clear certification schemes, and financial support that de-risks initial projects. The time for waiting is over. Industry must now shape the policies it needs to invest.
That brings us to Europe, which seems to be taking that advice. Tell us about the new Norbridge initiative between Oman and the Netherlands.
This is a textbook example of a forward-looking energy partnership. Oman is leveraging its immense solar and wind resources to become a major green hydrogen producer. This agreement, signed at the World Hydrogen Summit in Rotterdam, initiates a feasibility study for a dedicated export corridor to northwestern Europe.
So this isn't just a single shipment. It's about building a permanent supply chain. What does that involve?
It involves everything. The study will evaluate the most efficient way to transport the hydrogen, likely as derivatives like liquid ammonia or methanol. It will assess shipping routes, logistics costs, and what port infrastructure needs to be built or upgraded in places like Rotterdam. It's the blueprint for a multi-billion dollar energy trade route.
How does this specifically affect a European manufacturer, say in Germany's chemical sector?
It offers a clear path to long-term energy security and decarbonization. A German chemical giant like BASF, which is already testing advanced electrolyzers, can now plan for a future where a significant portion of its hydrogen feedstock comes from a stable non-European source. This diversifies their energy supply away from geopolitical hotspots and volatile natural gas prices.
What about trading companies? Is this an opportunity?
A massive one. This creates future markets for specialized shipping, storage terminals, and derivative trading. Companies involved in commodity logistics and trading should be engaging with port authorities in the Netherlands now to understand the infrastructure requirements and partnership opportunities. The first movers who helped build this corridor will profit from it for decades.
So the actionable insight for executives?
European industrial executives should begin modeling the total landed cost of Omani hydrogen derivatives into their long-term strategic plans. They need to start conversations with entities like the Port of Rotterdam to signal future demand, which will accelerate the final investment decision on the required infrastructure.
Let's cross the Atlantic to the United States. The policy approach there seems more focused on financial incentives, particularly through the Inflation Reduction Act, or IRA. What's the latest development?
The DOE is leveraging the IRA to bolster its loan program significantly. Section 1703 of the Energy Policy Act has been given an additional $40 billion in loan authority, available through September 2026. This is aimed squarely at innovative clean energy projects.
And this isn't just for new projects, right? There's a new program for existing infrastructure.
Correct. That's the new Energy Infrastructure Reinvestment Program, or EIR. This Section 1706 program provides loan guarantees for projects that retool, repower, or replace retired energy infrastructure. Think converting a former coal plant site into a green hydrogen production hub. It's designed to use existing land and grid connections to accelerate deployment and support local economies.
But despite this massive government funding, we see a company like Plug Power, a leader in electrolyzers, facing serious financial hurdles. What does that tell us?
It tells us that government support doesn't guarantee commercial success. Plug Power is navigating what analysts call a profitability test. They are aggressively expanding, but face concerns about financial stability and the pace of market adoption. They're renegotiating contracts and securing more liquidity to fund their path to a break-even target in 2028.
So how should a U.S. manufacturer interpret these conflicting signals?
U.S. manufacturers have a dual opportunity. They can partner with projects funded by the DOE's loan programs to decarbonize their own operations, but they must also conduct extreme due diligence on their technology partners. The financial health of a supplier like Plug Power is just as critical as its technical capabilities. A 5-year technology roadmap is useless if the company isn't around in 2 years to deliver.
And for distributors or trading companies sourcing this technology?
They need to watch the balance sheets of their suppliers very carefully. The IRA is creating a gold rush, but not everyone will find gold. Diversify your supplier base and consider performance bonds or other financial guarantees in your contracts with emerging technology providers.
The key action item for executives?
U.S. executives should be tasking their teams with mapping out opportunities under the EEIR program to repurpose their own legacy industrial sites. Simultaneously, their CFOs need to be stress-testing the financial viability of any new energy technology partner, regardless of how promising the tech appears.
Now, let's turn to the competition, specifically China. We're seeing a strategic alliance between Gongqing New Energy and FAW Jifeng, one of China's largest vehicle makers. What are they planning?
They formalized a plan for the joint development and large-scale commercial deployment of hydrogen fuel cell heavy-duty trucks. This is not a pilot program. Their target is to deploy and operate a cumulative 1,000 hydrogen trucks within the next 2 years.
1,000 trucks? And where will they operate?
The initial batch of 200 units, which are 49-ton heavy-duty models, are slated for key logistics arteries in the Yangtze River Delta and Inner Mongolia. These are economically vital regions where hydrogen refueling infrastructure is being rapidly built out.
If that wasn't enough, we also saw a major announcement from another Chinese giant, Dongfeng Motor.
Yes, and it's a direct hit on the core challenge of heavy transport, range. Dongfeng unveiled a new 400-kilowatt hydrogen core fuel cell system designed for 49-ton trucks. The new vehicle platform built around it enables a range of up to 1,700 kilometers.
1,700 kilometers? That's over 1,000 miles. That's competitive with diesel.
It's not just competitive. It leapfrogs many Western prototypes. The system also boasts a lifespan of over 30,000 hours and can start in temperatures down to negative 40 Celsius, making it commercially robust.
What does this mean for U.S. and European truck manufacturers like Daimler, Volvo, or PACCAR?
It means the competitive landscape has fundamentally changed. They are no longer just competing with each other on pilot projects. They are now facing a state-backed Chinese industrial machine that is deploying at scale, building a domestic market, and will inevitably look to export. This creates an urgent need to accelerate their own fuel cell programs from R&D into mass production.
What's the takeaway for Western trading and logistics companies?
Be prepared for a new class of vehicle to enter the market. While these trucks are initially for China, FAWG Fong and Dongfeng are global players. Logistics companies should anticipate that within 3 to 5 years, they may be able to source commercially viable long-range hydrogen trucks from China, potentially at a lower cost than Western alternatives.
Actionable insight for a Western automotive executive.
They need to immediately reassess their hydrogen roadmaps and investment levels. The timelines are no longer theoretical. They must secure their supply chains for fuel cells and hydrogen tanks now, or risk being beaten on both performance and cost by Chinese competitors in the second half of this decade.
Finally, let's look at another emerging giant, India. The government there has made its ambitions very clear.
Extremely clear. India's National Green Hydrogen Mission, approved back in 2022, is now driving massive investment. Pankaj Jain, the Secretary of the Ministry of Petroleum, stated that green hydrogen is a critical and attractive energy option to meet the nation's escalating demand.
And they've put some staggering numbers on that demand.
They have. India is forecasting a domestic green hydrogen demand of 12.5 million metric tons by 2040, and a jump to 25 million metric tons by 2050. To support this, their 2030 target is to build 5 million metric tons of annual production capacity, supported by 125 gigawatts of new renewable energy.
So this isn't just about climate policy, it's about powering a massive growing economy.
Precisely. Analysis from law firm King, Stugg & Kasiva notes the sector has moved beyond aspiration to become a major commercial opportunity. India is positioning itself as a future global hub for green hydrogen production, export infrastructure, and manufacturing things like green steel and green ammonia. This is attracting a flood of capital from sovereign wealth funds, institutional investors, and multinational industrial groups.
How should U.S. and European manufacturers view India's rise in this space?
As both a monumental market opportunity and a formidable future competitor. For manufacturers of electrolyzers, turbines, and industrial components, India represents one of the largest potential markets of the next two decades. But Indian companies are also rapidly developing their own domestic manufacturing capabilities and will eventually compete on the global stage.
And for trading companies?
India will become a major node in the global energy supply chain. Sourcing green ammonia for fertilizer production from India could soon be a major business. Trading houses should be building relationships with the emerging Indian green energy champions, like the Avaada Group, who are leading this charge.
So, what is the key takeaway for our Western executive looking at India?
Develop an India-specific strategy now. This is not a market you can ignore. That means evaluating opportunities for direct investment, joint ventures with Indian energy companies to co-develop projects, and establishing a presence on the ground to navigate the regulatory landscape. India's hydrogen story is just beginning, and it will be one of the defining industrial trends of the 2030s.
All right, Troy, a lot of ground covered this week. Let's distill it down. What is the strategic summary for our listeners?
First, the hydrogen industry has hit an inflection point. The CEO-led demand for government action shows that the technology is maturing, but the market structure is not. Private capital is ready to be deployed, but it requires public de-risking through infrastructure commitments and long-term purchase agreements.
Second, the geopolitical map of energy is being redrawn in real time. Europe is actively building new supply corridors to places like Oman, while the U.S. is using the IRA as a massive financial magnet. Companies must align their strategies with these powerful, state-directed capital flows.
Third, and most critically, the competitive threat from Asia is no longer theoretical. It is happening now. China's scaled deployment of long-range hydrogen trucks is a direct challenge to the incumbency of Western automotive and logistics giants. Simultaneously, India's ambition to build 125 gigawatt renewable base just to power its hydrogen production signals the emergence of a new industrial superpower in this space. Western firms must accelerate their own deployment or risk becoming customers of their new competitors.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Join us next week as we continue to track the technologies and intelligence shaping your business landscape. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
For Troy Technical Intelligence, thank you for listening. If you found this briefing valuable, please subscribe on your podcast platform of choice to ensure you never miss an update.